freely giving. Say it with me. Again. One more time. Freely giving. That means we're not expecting anything back. I don't think we understand the importance of freely giving. I think that there are a lot of times in our lives that we really, even as Christians, walk around knowing that we struggle through this Christian life, and you hear people saying what you have to do and what you have to give and how you're supposed to act, and there's no joy that comes with it. There's a lot of Christians that don't live with a joy. Wouldn't you agree? Do you understand that as we talk about freely giving today, we're going to understand one of the paramount things that we need to understand. If you can get this, if you can grasp this, by the way, God's Word explains it, and if I don't mess it up, then you'll be able to realize that there's a joy that will come to you with freely giving. So if you have your Bible today, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When you find your place, stand up and hold it above your head. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll know you have your place when you stand up and hold it above your head. If not, we'll just wait on you. Take your time. 2 Corinthians, here's the first clue of the day. It's going to be right after 1 Corinthians. That was funny. You can laugh. I don't want you to be so stoic in church that we have to come in here and sit with our hands folded. When I heard the child screaming this morning, that would be great to hear more of God's children screaming in church, you know? At least there'll be a little bit of life, right? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, usually, when you hear a sermon from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, those of you who are these older, seasoned Christians who have been in church, you will say right now, this is going to be about how much money you're supposed to give to the church in order for the church to do the Lord's work, and your responsibility as a Christian to give monetarily so that God can get the work done that He needs to get done, right? When you hear 2 Corinthians 8, isn't that what we talk about? Well, you know, if you've come to this church for any length of time at all, there's one thing that you haven't heard a lot about, and that is how you're pressed upon to give monetarily. Just not something that I believe that I need to do from the pulpit. I want to explain that by being able to say that today you're not going to hear a sermon on the money you're supposed to give to church once again. And on that time when he convicts me of this, and I can say, looking back in these past 11 years, I know there's been twice that he's led me to preach on that. And that was because we had so many people that got saved, they really didn't understand the blessing of being able to give even in that way. But this is not one of those times I want to talk about it, but I want to explain why. You see, this is not a message to try to convince you to give more to the church. Why? The success of the church and the ministry of the church does not, and I repeat, does not depend on the amount of money that people are willing to give. And it is not dependent upon the financial position of the church. Understand this, and I'm sure this sermon will probably be want to be banned by so many other places because, hey, I'm going to speak against the way that a lot of times business is done in church. God's business is done in church. Understand something. God's business is not a financial business. When we noticed last week the abundance of how God has monetarily blessed us, even in our quarterly meeting where we were looking at how He's abundantly blessed us, that's not your money to begin with. It's not the church's money. We don't sit and say, hey, we've got this much money. It's never been our money. It's God's money. People get funny when you start talking about their money. But do you realize that one out of every four Sundays, the typical church is required to talk about it because that's what keeps the wheels rolling? And then it wouldn't take you long this morning just scanning through the channels to realize the motive behind a lot of the programs that you were able to watch. Understand something, and I want to reiterate again, the success of the church and the ministry of the church is not dependent on the financial position of the church. It's dependent upon the spiritual position of the church. It is not about the amount of money they have to work with. It's about the amount of people who are working with the Holy Spirit of God leading them. Amen. Most churches that think they have a financial problem actually have a spiritual problem, either in their members or in their leadership. And I have been a part and sat in meetings before to where somebody declared this financial problem that we've had here. It's not a financial problem, it's a spiritual problem. You say, no, it's financial. I can show you the figures. Well, I want to show you the word, because the word trumps the figures. You see, the pastor's job is not to be a fundraiser or to constantly remind people to give their money and warn them what will happen if they don't do this or if they don't do what they ought to do. The pastor's job is not to preach the word of God in so much that he has his own agenda and manipulates people to do things in the way that the betterment of the church in a financial position is glorified. The pastor's job is to preach the word of God so that people can accept the Lord as their Savior, and so that those people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior can grow closer to him through the knowledge of his word. Amen. When this happens, the presence of the Holy Spirit grows. Do you know that? When this happens, the voice of the Holy Spirit becomes clearer and stronger in each individual Christian. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to lead, to guide, and to convict each one of us as to what we should give to God. It is the pastor's job to give you the word. The Holy Spirit's job will keep reminding you of the word. If I were to stand in front of you and make you feel guilty, and you said, oh, well, this is what I should be doing. This is what God says I should be doing. And so this is what I want to do. Then you would be doing it because you would feel as if it was your duty. That would not be freely giving. If I was to stand and tell you, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, because if you do this, this is what God's going to come back and do for you, and he's going to bless you this way, that wouldn't be freely given. You say, well, it wouldn't be freely. No, you're expecting something back for it. That's not freely. You see, but God doesn't want us to feel forced to give. And doesn't want us to give so that we can get something back in return. God wants us to freely give. Say it with me. What does he want us to do? Tell your neighbor,
freely.
The other neighbor,
freely
give. God wants us to freely give, and it's not money. Hold on to your seat. It's not money that he wants us to give to him. He wants us to give ourselves to him. In some cases, it would be easier to give money than give ourselves. And I will tell you that there are probably people that are sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that are good at giving their money and faithful at giving their money, but they are not giving themselves. And for that reason, they're living a Christian life that has no joy or not consistent joy. What do you mean he wants us to give ourselves? He wants us to give our love to him. He wants us to give our time to him. He wants us to give our companionship to him. He wants us to give our conversation to him. He wants us to give our service to him. Hey, listen, I can tell you, there's been a time in my life when it would have been a lot easier for me to write a check and give that to him than it would to give any of those other things, right? Because I was busy trying to do those other things, right? Come on, it isn't just me, right? So without talking about finances today, I want to talk about giving, freely giving. I want to tell you a couple of facts, which I'm willing to debate with anybody, as long as it's based on the word. Do you realize that we don't have a command to give to God? You say, oh, hold on. We don't have a command to give to God. We have an opportunity to give to God. We actually have a choice to give, a choice to take the opportunity to give to God. And God said in his word, this is Jesus speaking, listen, you know this passage. You say, this is the command. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men, given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, that means that the same measure you give, with all it shall be measured to you again. This is not a command. When he says give, he's giving you a decree that says, if you give, it will be given unto you. Does if you give sound like a command? If you give, it's not a command. That's a promise. That's a choice. That's an opportunity. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see sometimes, even as Christians today, we give, but we don't freely give. And you say, I freely give. I'm consistent. Look at my record. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. This might blow your mind. I don't think that it's the pastor's job to know who gives one penny in this church. I have never looked at one tithing statement, never looked at anything. The only thing I know that anybody's give is if they put it in my hand or say, I want it to go towards something. I have no idea, because I would rather shoot than aim. And if you know that, you'll start aiming, right? My business is not in the money of this church. I'm not called to be the CFO of this church. And so when I speak to you today, don't sit there and think, I bet he knows. No, I'm not even talking about money today. This is big, so I want you to understand. In 2 Corinthians 8, this passage that's always talked about as, hey, listen, these people gave, and they did give monetarily to Paul, and it's always preached. I want to preach it a different way today because I see a different thing in it. In 2 Corinthians 8, can I set the scene for you, please? It speaks about some churches in Macedonia, and you might say, what is Macedonia? Macedonia was the northern Roman province of Greece. Basically, Paul has started these churches there. You'll recognize the name of the churches, the Church of Philippi, the Church of Thessalonica. We get the books of the Bible, Philippians and Thessalonians. He preached to the church in Berea. If you want to go back and do some history, turn back to Acts 16, 17, 18, when Paul was on his missionary journey. He went through this province here in Greece, which was a Roman territory. And this province, he began these churches. But then he's talking and writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's writing this letter about how, as Christians, you should freely give. Generosity. Now, he uses this church because at this particular time that Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth about the churches in Macedonia, the churches in Macedonia had been living in poverty. They didn't have a lot of financial gifts to give. They had been living in poverty, and they were torn up because of the various wars and battles that happened. The Roman government had come in and usurped their commerce, so their commerce was down. They just didn't have a lot of things. These people were poor. These people were needy. These people were oppressed. But here's the key. Even in that state of mind, they had joy. Joy. Now, here's why they had joy. So remember this. They had joy in their Christian life, not because of the circumstances. They had joy because of one reason. They had joy because they were freely giving. Now, I want you to remember this, because I can look back in my Christian life, and as God was laying this sermon on my mind, I could give you so many instances where, listen, I was in the church and I was serving God and I was doing what I needed to be doing, but I wasn't freely giving. And you'll understand in a minute. I was giving, but not freely giving. Now get this. Giving doesn't produce joy. Freely giving produces joy. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to show you the word, okay? So if we look at this in 2 Corinthians 8, I want to go over these verses just briefly, and then we'll talk just a minute. Verse 2, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 2 says, I should read verse 1 because it's the greeting. I won't skip it. Moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of this grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's telling the Corinthian people, listen, God is showing some incredible favor, his grace on these churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Does that mean they have a little joy? But do they have trial and affliction? Yes, it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And the liberality means their willingness to give. So I want you to understand as we read verse 2, basically translating, it says, even though they were going through trials of affliction, they had a surplus of joy. Now, how many times do we go through trials and affliction? And when we go through trials and afflictions, we begin to think, it's enough for me to maintain myself right now, so I've got to cut off everything else I'm doing. Right now, I've got to minister to me. Right now, it's me. And we have no joy through that trial of affliction. But can I get a witness of anybody in here that has went through trial and affliction? In the middle of trial and affliction, you drew closer to God and you said, I'm going to give more of my time to Him. I'm going to give more of my prayer to Him. I'm going to get more of my study in the Word. Why? Because my life's falling apart and I don't know what to do. So in the middle of this, I'm going to lean on Him. I'm going to be at church when the doors are open. I'm going to talk to Him. And so in the middle of your trial and affliction, where you were willing to give your time, you had a surplus of what? Joy. Doesn't make sense. God's word isn't supposed to make sense because you accept it by faith. Doesn't make logical sense, does it? Amen. So I look at this and I think, okay, these people are a great example of that. So he goes on and in verse 3, he basically gives us three things that he saw in their free giving. He says, to their power, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves. I want you to look at just three little notes about verse 3. First of all, he says, basically, they gave, first part, to their power. That means they gave to their, according to their ability. To what power they had. And do you know that God, He knows what ability somebody has to give. And are you supposed to give of your time and your resources and give of your devotion and attention to God according to your ability? Absolutely. Do you realize there are people that can't be here this morning? Physically, they cannot be here. They don't have the ability to be here. Does God expect them to be here? No. No. Why? Because they don't have the ability. But there's some that do. Does he expect at least for us to give to our ability? Yes. If you're able to walk in here this morning, if you're able physically to come in here this morning, if you're not too sick to be in here this morning, or if you aren't out of town on something this morning, a vacation or something, you're here. He expects you to be here. You say, yeah, we're talking about those people that aren't here this morning. We're talking about some of you that weren't here last Sunday morning. Or two Sunday mornings before that, or two Sunday mornings before that, or two Sunday mornings before this. As a matter of fact, it's the first time in 4 or 5 weeks that you came in and hit it. But did you have ability? Well, if you didn't, then God knows that. I was a Christian at one point in time that could give you a justification why I didn't have the ability to be here, but I had the ability to be doing something else. I could give you the justification why I didn't have the ability to have the prayer life that I have, but I had the ability to do something else during that time. So he expects us to give to our first what? Our ability. That's freely giving to our ability. Secondly, Paul noticed something. They didn't just give to their power. Notice verse 3. This is pretty neat. Verse 3 says, I bear record here that they gave to their power. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. This is big, right? Next step in freely giving is giving beyond the power that you have. Can I give you the definition of giving beyond the power that you have? The Bible calls it sacrificial giving. It's when you give instead of giving something else. Give instead of keeping. Sacrificial giving. Give till it hurts. Now, let me bear in mind, even if you're being convicted in this way, I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about sacrificing something to be able to give time to the Lord. Sacrificing something to give your relationship to the Lord. Sacrificing to speak on behalf of the Lord. Sacrificing something. Giving beyond the normal expectancy. Right? And thirdly, this is great. He says they gave freely and willing. Listen to this statement. He says they were willing of themselves. Hey, that's big. Can I tell you what willing of themselves means? Hold on a second. Nobody was making them do it. Nobody was making them do it. Well, how does that tie into our message? Well, willing to do it means freely giving. And for those of you that are standing out there now or sitting out there now and you're saying, well, Pastor, you're the same one that says, hey, listen, parents, you're supposed to require your children to be at church, make them, if they don't freely want to come, listen, you're missing the greatest commandment, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Listen, the Bible tells you to talk about freely giving to them. Listen, it is a problem if they don't want to come, but it's a bigger problem if you don't want them to come because you're trying to say your will is more important than God's will. You're not giving them a choice to go to the doctor. You're not giving them a choice to go to school. You're not giving them a choice to go to practice, are you? But yeah, there's a different standard. No, you're teaching them that God is going to reward freely giving with a closeness. Now, verse 4, and I love this. It's a simple verse, and it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. What is he talking about? Basically, they gave so that they could minister to the saints in Jerusalem. Well, how does that work? Well, understand that the church, the original church, started where? Somebody tell me. Acts 2. Where did it start? Jerusalem. And you realize all ministry went out from Jerusalem. And the council sat in Jerusalem. The disciples were in Jerusalem. And they were branching out ministry to here and there. Paul came back and reported to them, if you read the book of Acts, right? So in order to make sure the ministry was going, when Paul would go on his missionary journeys, do you know that people would give to Paul to help the saints back in Jerusalem so that the ministry would go on? And these people were giving so that they could help the ministry go on. But I love what it says in verse 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. He's saying to this church at Corinth, about this church in Macedonia, that they agreed to be in fellowship with him in a sacrificial way, through their prayers, through their giving of themselves. They agreed to do this because it was a privilege. A privilege. Now, when we get to this point in verse 5, this is our theme verse. Chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, and this they did, not as we had hoped. What is Paul saying? He was like, more than I expected. I hoped to go there and that they were going to say, hey, listen, you've got this going for you. We like you. We're going to keep doing this. No, it was above his expectation. Not as we had hoped, but here's what they did. It says, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord. And, conjunction here, and unto us by the will of God. They gave the greatest gift, and the greatest gift didn't have Jackson, Hamilton, Grant, any of it. The greatest gift was that they gave themselves. Hold on. They freely gave themselves. You see, it was their priority. Notice when it says, but first gave their own selves. First is, we usually use first in reference to time, but he's using first in reference to priority. First, before anything, they gave themselves to who? To God, and then to us. Generously. Think about how this happens. This priority giving of someone's self. Because we're going to talk about freely giving today. And we're not going to talk about finances. By your choice and mine, nobody's comfortable with talking about that, right? So how do I freely give myself? Well, I want to use an example that may hit home. I want to put it in our mind and give you a couple of things that are required to freely give. And the first thing that is required to freely give is dedication. There has to be dedication. So what do you mean, dedication? Well, let me put it to you this way. Think about how this happens when a parent has a child. When a parent has a child, all of a sudden, and I've told new parents before, listen, in a couple of weeks when I come over and see you, right now, if you don't think you're a selfish person, in a couple of weeks you're going to say, man, I was selfish before this child came. Why? Because this child requires my attention. They require my love. They require my endless devotion. I will work for them. I will do whatever it is. I will hurt for them. And I would even say, listen, I'll inconvenience myself, whatever. Why? Right? Why? I'm dedicated to this child. And why am I dedicated? I'm driven by, it's a four-letter word. And does somebody have to train you to love them? No. Get this. You freely give when you're dedicated by love. Dedicated. Now, I want to talk about this freely given by dedication a minute, because a lot of us start off with God that way. And then something happens. And I'm sure there's some of you here. I'm sure some listening, because I was one of those people. So hear me out, if you will. You see, the dedication the parent has for the child basically dictates how freely the parent gives to the child, how willing the parent is to give to the child, how consistent the parent is to give to the child. I've seen instances before to where it's dinner time. The family's coming to dinner, and this is the way it sounds. You guys get in here and eat. I've come home, I've worked all day, and now I've had to come home. I've fixed this, and now it's ready, and you're going to sit in here and listen. I could have been doing anything, but hey, eat this. I've done this. And it's almost like I'm going to eat it because I feel like I need to. I feel bad that you had to sit there and cook it. So the person is not showing any dedication to the child. They're trying to say, listen, I didn't do it freely. I felt like I had to do it. Well, how's the child going to feel? How's the one that's getting it going to feel? If you're giving it to the person, how's the person? Well, please, hey, listen, I'm sorry you had to go through that, right? Now, the parent is dedicated to the child's well-being. If they are, then they're going to be freely giving. But it depends on how willing the parent is to give to the child, how consistent the parent is giving to the child. If you're truly dedicated, then it becomes a privilege to do it, doesn't it? Think about it. Think about it in that context. I get to give something. Look what I'm getting to do. You don't have to think. Nobody's forcing you to do it. But if you're not dedicated to that child, you say, who wouldn't be? We've got a world full of them that aren't. Ask that child how it feels. But then we've got a world full of children who the parents are dedicating to serve them, willing, but not free willing. I have to go to work, and then when I come home, I've got to take you here, and then I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And it's always this kind of complaining spirit. Yes, we've got to do this, and then we've got to get here. Listen, if y'all wouldn't be doing that, man, you're growing too fast. Now we've got to go buy clothes. And listen, if you're doing this, and the whole thing, it's hard growing up in that household, because it's almost like, yeah, I know you're dedicated to me, but I'm sorry. And I began to think, how many times in my giving to God, with a complaining spirit, I would do it, but I can't do that. And he wants me to be here at this particular time, and I can't do this because I've got this. Hey, don't even come. God, I'm going to pray to you, but I've had a hard day, so this is going to be a short one. Listen, you don't understand what's going on, and I've got to get this done. I've got that done. I've got to get this done before I go back to school anymore. I've got to get this. I've got to go here. I've got to get this. Listen, I get tired of talking to people that are so busy with life. Christian people, you just don't understand. We've been doing this, we've been doing this, we've been doing this, we've been doing this, and all of us can get into that shape, can't we? If God's listening to our conversation, I wonder if he is. Then how do we sound on this privilege to serve him? Does it sound like we're getting to freely serve him, or does it sound like, hey, listen, you're getting a good thing with me? Do you know that a person's dedication to someone or something can be because they feel that it's their duty? Their duty. And we're going to talk about duty giving here a minute. You see, a lot of us think that we're freely giving, but we're duty giving. And there's a big difference between freely giving and duty giving. And I want you to remember this. And this I thought this was huge in studying. It was just like, hey, boom, he opened up this window where I looked on this portion of my life, and I would have told you at any time when I was in this stage of my Christian life that I was freely giving to God, but I wasn't. I was duty giving. You know the thing about duty giving? There's no joy in duty giving. Oh, let's go back to that parent-child situation. How joyful does that parent look when they're giving to that child, thinking that it's just your duty as a parent? They're my kids. I have them to raise. I need to put them through school. I need to do this. I need to feed them. I need to clothe them. I need to do this. Hey, do you think that child sees any joy in that parent? No. Why? Because they're duty giving. They're saying, I have to do this. When people are giving themselves to someone or something because of duty, they're missing the biggest benefit of giving, which is the joy of giving. You see, there is no joy in duty giving. Tell the person beside of you, there is no joy in duty giving. This kind of givens is done because there's the necessity to give, or a requirement to give, or a pressure to give. You see this in churches that continually focus on the money that is given. And so you're going to get this sermon that finds you and tells you how you're not being a part of this and this, and you're responsible. Hey, it's your responsibility. Some churches even go so far as to make you fill out something to say, this is what we're going to plan to give. And if you don't go by it, then they're going to call you on it. Some people say, hey, listen, this is what you're required. It's your duty. We want you to jump in and have part of this, and even to the point of where we're going to build this building, so make your pledge. It's your duty to do your part doing this thing. And they call it a faith offering. Where's the faith in knowing how many people are going to give to something? No, it becomes duty. Is there any joy in that? No. Here's what it sounds like. Hey, listen, we told them we were going to give $300 this month. Did you write your check? Did you write your check to the building program? Did you write your check to that? We told them, listen, we signed up for it. They're going to be looking to see if we've done this. Did you do that? No. What kind of joy is that? That's duty giving. Where at the same time, if somebody is saying, hey, listen, I don't feel like it's my duty, but I really want this, and this is what, that's a check that you enjoy writing, right? If we were talking about money. But we're talking about just our service. When we're serving something by duty giving, you're not going to be happy. And I don't want you to basically miss this big point, because a lot of Christians are in that position right now. You love the Lord. You accepted His salvation. But then as you matured in your Christian walk, you heard sermons. And those sermons, well, they were telling you how to be obedient to God, but we turned it around, not that we should be obedient to God because He loved us and we get to love Him back and do that, but because God said, do this, I have to do it. Right. And then we even teach the next generation, you better do that. God says you better do that, right? So I've got to do it because God said I had to do it, not because I get to do it and please the Father. There's a difference in duty giving. So I want you to understand this. I see this in relationships all the time. Husbands giving themselves to their wives, wives giving themselves to their husbands because of duty. Yeah, I said I was going to do it. I said for better or for worse, I'm in here for the long haul. Yep, need to go home and need to spend a little time with her today. I mean, she wants that, right? See any joy in that? No. I know he likes this to eat. Hey, I made mashed potatoes again. Come on in here. You know, I have to peel them. I was late today. I had to come in. I had to do all that, but I know you like mashed potatoes. Here they are. You've given every kind of reason why it inconvenienced you, but you stated it was your duty to please him. What kind of joy is that at the table? Both of them are looking at each other just eating, right? There's no joy in that kind of giving. I like it when I walk in. I put my nose up in the air, and I think, something's going on. And she comes around the corner, and she says, I made your favorite. You did? Yeah, I made you. You didn't have to go through all that, and I wanted to. You know what? It tastes better when it's like that. Oh, Doesn't it? Well, no duty in it. Hey, here's a big one. Maybe you can relate to. You see, I want you to think about the job you have. Anybody in here gainfully employed? Let's hope so. All right? The employer-employee relationship. It's no different with this job you have. You think about someone going to work at a place they have agreed to work. They're doing what they've agreed to do for the company in order to get paid, but not really liking the company or the person they're working for. Does that person have joy at work? Oh, you sound like you know that person, right? Does that person have joy at work? No. You know why? Hold on. Because they're duty giving. The only joy they get is at the end of the week when they get rewarded for what they had given. So then it's still not freely giving because they're giving for a reward. And in our Christian walk, even seasoned Christians like us can be guilty of giving, but not freely giving. We're either duty giving because God said do it and we don't want to get in trouble if we don't, and this is one of the things, I'm going to do it. He told me to sing in the choir and I'm going to sing in the choir even though I don't want to sing in the choir. He told me to go and serve this. He told me to be at church. I'm here. There's other things I need to be doing, but we bring that kind of attitude in here. There's no joy in that kind of giving. Or we give saying, I know, it's tough and I don't want to do this, but I know that, you know, God's got heaven for me and he's got his rewards for me, so I'm going to serve. You know, that's not freely giving either. That's giving for what you're going to get back. And, you know, that's preached that way so many times. Hey, listen, give your heart to God and he's going to give you eternal life. Is something wrong with that message? Well, no, that's the message of eternal life. But you're not giving your heart to God so that you get eternal life. If that's all you're looking for is eternal life, you're going to stumble along the way because you'll take your mind off of eternal life. You don't have a heaven mindset. Yes, we can praise about it, but you need to know that you're giving yourself to God because you love him. Right. And why do you love him? Because you've seen in his word that he first loved you. You've seen that he's given himself to you. You see, it's a love relationship. It's a freely giving relationship. You see, that person that is in that duty-giving relationship is not going to enjoy going to work. That person's not going to enjoy giving of their time to that company. They're giving because of duty, but they have no joy in their giving. So, even when you give because of dedication, and you were that person that said, hey, freely giving means I'm dedicated to something. That's me, I'm dedicated. You still can freely give because you're dedicated and get it wrong if your dedication is duty giving. Does that make sense? And we all get into that category. We're dedicated to the Lord, but it's because of duty. Are you going to be blessed for that service? Yeah, it's my duty. The Bible tells me to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called, but not because I have to, because I get to. For all those years, as a Christian, I have to do this, I have to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. Something changed in my life, and I realize now that if he gave me today, I didn't have it before, it wasn't mine, it's still not mine, it's his. What he gave me to do today, I don't have to do, I get to do. So there's a different mindset. So you have to be dedicated to freely give, but not dedicated to the point to where you're duty giving. The next thing is that freely giving definitely requires love. You see, this kind of giving is, this duty giving is missing the greatest ingredient in giving, which is the love in giving. If our giving is not motivated by our love for someone or something, then it isn't going to be any joy in that giving. If there's no joy in the giving, then we're just going to be duty giving. If we're just motivated to give ourselves because of duty, then we'll constantly be looking for a reason not to give and constantly be measuring how much we're given as to how much we're going to give. Did you hear that? If you don't get this freely giving thing right, you fall into two traps. Number one, you're duty giving. You say, well, that's going to affect me and God? Yeah, let your life start not going right, and you've been trying to live for the Lord, and then you have things come up. You'll start justifying how much time you're giving Him, how much prayer you're giving Him. And then let's just say that you don't see the rewards you think you're seeing. Do you realize that your dedication will fail? It will fail. Why? Because you're just duty given. Now, here's the other thing. Giving that is motivated by love is completely different. Even in the husband-wife relationship. We go there because it's a common relationship. The parent-child relationship is a common relationship that we can apply to our relationship with God. We are the bride of Christ, and He tells us to look at it this way. But do you realize that a husband-wife relationship that's based on the joy of giving yourself to someone you love instead of a relationship that is keeping score as to how much someone else is giving us is a relationship that has joy in it? You see, when we give, not freely give, but give based on what we're getting back, even the rewards that God said He's giving us back, do you realize that we'll start keeping score? We do that when we're getting a reward back. Now, I'm willing to do this and this and this, but I'm expecting this. You say, well, how's that going to affect us? Well, let your life start doing good. Where you're not in as much need, guess what? You'll stop giving as much because you don't think anybody else can give to you, especially God. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? God blessed you. You did good. He rewarded you. And then when you got it, your giving of yourself, your time, your prayer, your Bible study, your faithfulness in church, it slacked off when everything got right. You know why? Because you weren't freely giving. You were reward giving. And when He gave you the reward, you didn't need as much reward, so you didn't give as much. Am I right? Oh, come on. Tell the truth for crying out loud. It happened to me. That reward given will get you. I can sum it up in one thing, one phrase. I had everybody there. Very rarely for me to have, when I was running my business, very rarely for me to have somebody out on a Friday. What was Friday? Monday was the worst. People weren't willing to give because they had the reward. Can I get a witness? You understand what I'm saying? You know I'm not talking about work now, don't you? I'm talking about our service to God, our devotion to God. Monday's a bad day. Why? Got your reward in your pocket. Got a little jingle in your pocket. Don't need to work. You'll never hear a person say they love their job, they have a joy to go to work, that is a duty giver. Nope. You say, well, listen, I've heard people that said, okay, listen, I've served in our military, and I've done my duty, and I have joy that I did my duty. Listen, you missed it. And if you're saying it that way, you're saying it wrong. If you're hearing it that way, you're hearing it wrong. They don't have joy because they did their duty. They have joy because they love their country, and then they did what they were supposed to do. It's not because they did their... You don't have joy to do duty. You have joy to do duty for somebody that you love. You see, without love, there's no joy. Does that make sense? Now, I want you to grab this. It's a pretty big deal. That person that is working somewhere, you'll never hear that person say they love their job and have a joy to go to work that is a duty giver. They need to love what they are doing. They need to not necessarily love what they're doing, but love the ability to be able to give. You see, this is what we have to understand about our relationship with God. It has to be based on our love for God, not our duty to God. And our relationship with God can't be based on just what we think we're going to get out of the relationship. Now, this is where it hits home, because a lot of us, we talk about the rewards God's going to do, and this is what He's going to do. Listen, sometimes God is just looking, and most of the time, God is just looking, and freely giving is about us doing for God, not for what we think we're going to get, but just because we love them. I see this in these husband and wife relationships. The relationship is terrible because they're keeping score. It's about, hey, I'm not going to do this because they're not doing this, and I'm not going to do this because they're not doing this. Is that ever, you know anybody like that? And we limit what we're going to do because they're not doing it. That relationship has no joy. I've seen a bunch of them. No joy in that. But you bring me some people that say, hey, listen, I love doing this for them. Those people will outserve each other. You're going to see joy in a relationship. I get to do this. You're going to see smiles. You're going to see joy. You're going to have people that feel value because somebody else did for them. That's freely giving. They're not expecting anything back. Our relationship with God is only going to be a relationship that we can be joyful in if it's a relationship that's based on our love for Him. So throughout the Bible, God's asking us to give ourselves to Him, give our belief to Him, give our soul to Him, give our obedience to Him, give our life to Him. But so many people are missing the joy of giving themselves to God because, number one, they're not willing to give themselves. They're still unsaved, so they never come into a relationship with God because it requires giving yourself, not your money, not your material, but, hey, making a commitment. Do you know when you make a commitment, you give yourself? That's why I have the bride and the groom stand up here. Hey, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? You know that she couldn't take him unless he's being given. And when I ask that father who gives this woman to be married to this man, she's actually being given. But then the marriage happens, and we think, hey, listen, I'm my own person. No, you're not your own person. When you agreed to be married, you made a commitment to give yourself to the other person. And when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you made a commitment to give your heart, give your life to Christ. If you did it because of reward, then it wasn't freely given. If you did it because somebody told you you needed to do it, then it wasn't freely given. You do it because He loved you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that means trusteth in that love freely. We try to preach a message that teaches children, hey, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so you don't die and go to hell. That's the wrong message. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because you're accepting a gift of love and you want to love Him back. That Christian will stay frequent. A Christian that is not willing to give themselves in love, one that's just a duty giver, is not going to experience happiness and joy in their Christian life. I know. I've been that Christian before. I know I'm speaking today to Christians that are listening. You don't have joy in your Christian life. And you feel like you're giving what you're supposed to. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be that. Right. But are you freely giving it? It's the key to your joy in your Christian life. Freely giving it. Not wanting anything back, but just let me express my love to you. Same way in that marriage relationship. When I just want to tell her I love her, I just do something for her. When I want to just show my kids I love them, I just do something. I don't expect anything back. I just do for Him. It's no different in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. He just wants you to love Him back, right? Just show Him. You see, a Christian who's just giving in order to get back is not going to be a joyful Christian. It's not going to stay in consistent relationship with God, because they'll never stop giving themselves when they will stop giving themselves when they don't see the immediate benefit, or they'll stop giving themselves whenever they feel like life is good and they don't need anything. But the person that gives their life to God by accepting Jesus as their Savior and then gives themselves to God because they love Him and their giving is motivated by their love and their heart for God, that's a person who will experience joy that only a love giver will experience. Put it to you this way, Paul wrote it best one chapter over, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, this is what he said: "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or not of necessity," that means not out of duty, "for God loveth a cheerful giver." I have to consider in my Christian life, would God say that I'm cheerfully giving Him my time, cheerfully giving Him my service, cheerfully giving Him my dedication, cheerfully giving Him my love? Or am I one of those that has made it almost an inconvenience and state my inconvenience every time? "Well, we could go, but we've got this and we've got this and got to do this, but I'm trying to serve God. I could be doing this right here." Listen, if nobody else hears it, God hears it. He knows you're not freely giving. That's why you don't have any joy. I was there. And if it's just for the reward, you don't have any joy. Freely giving is a big deal, isn't it? You see, we have the greatest example of freely giving as we look at Jesus. Why? Because He loved. He freely gave His love. Father God freely gave His love. Listen to what Jesus, as He freely gave His life for us, listen to what He spake about freely giving His life for us. You might remember this, John 10:11. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Right? "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Oh no, you have to give your life? No, Jesus didn't look at it that way. "No, I don't have to give my life." Listen to what He said in verses 17 and 18 of that same John chapter 10. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now listen, no man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself." Can I translate that? They didn't take my life, I freely gave it. What an example. "I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He said, God gave me the authority to lay it down or take it up. You know what He's saying? God gave me. You say He said commandment. No, He's meaning God gave me this promise that I have the power to lay it down and take it back up again, so I'm doing it. God didn't make Jesus die on the cross. He gave Him an opportunity. Jesus Himself said, "I could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver me, but I didn't. I freely gave my life." Amen. Now listen to the last two verses of 2 Corinthians 8. Paul says, basically to the church at Corinth, and I'll summarize verses 7 and 8. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." You know what this grace that he's talking about? This grace that we're supposed to give? Freely giving. That's one of the things that we fail to do. It's a grace that we give to others. It's a grace we give to God. Listen, we complain about giving to God and we complain about giving to others. God told you, you have two jobs after you accept my love. That is to love me back and then to love others. This is the greatest two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Two jobs. Make it simple, Mike. This is what you have to do. You have to show the same grace I gave to you. But listen, in these other things that you're excelling in, I want you to listen to what the church at Macedonia was excelling in. Listen, he listed those things. He said, listen, you've abounded in your faith. You really believe in me. In your utterance, in your willingness to speak for me, that's great. In your knowledge, you keep learning a lot about me. In all diligence, that means you're persistent. And in your love to us, yes, you've been helping us. But Paul says to the church at Corinth, see that you abound in this grace also. Hey, they were doing these things, but hold on, they weren't doing them freely. a Christian can be walking around with no joy, thinking they're doing the right thing because that's what they're supposed to do. It's their duty. Or doing it, but so God will reward them. Neither of those are freely giving. He said, abound in this grace also, like the church at Macedonia. Hey, what do I want to be like them? Well, the Bible says, hey, even in the worst of times, they were full of J-O-Y joy. So if you're full and you don't need any more, hey, listen, tune out this whole sermon, please. But joy comes from freely giving. I know it in my relationships. I love the feeling that comes when I've done something for my wife because I love her. I know the feeling that comes when I feel like I've done something for my kids knowing they're not going to pay me back. That's that relationship. God is somebody that wants us to freely give to Him because He freely gave to us. When you do it in that relationship, you'll feel the same kind of joy. In verse 8, He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Basically, He's saying when we freely give ourselves to God, it is not because we're obligated to give. It is not duty giving. It is not because we're expecting something back. It is proof that we love the Lord and we want to show our love back to Him by giving ourselves to Him. In this truth, you will experience the joy of giving. Our joy will come when we freely give. I love what He's saying. It's the proof of our love for Him. So we can turn that back around to what we were talking about to begin with, and I'll close with this. Hey, when a parent gives to a child knowing they're not going to get anything back and not complaining, just gives to them freely, is that a proof of their love? When a husband and wife give to each other in that relationship without expecting anything, just being happy to give, not complaining, but wanting to give, is that a proof of their love? Yeah. Then are we proving our love to God by our free giving? Or does God see that when we give something and He knows that we're doing it because of duty or because something we think we're getting back from Him? It just got a little heavy, didn't it? He's telling us how to have joy. He's the giver of all things. And we've got such a great example. Who? With Jesus. That's why Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, who for the what? Imagine that. Who for the joy that was set before Him. What do you do? For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. He went through it. Why? For the joy. What do you mean? He was freely giving. Despising the shame, was He mocked? Crucified as a criminal. Why? He was freely given. Oh, go back a minute. It must have been terrible. No, it says for the joy that was set before Him. And is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Let me ask you, do you know the joy in life that you could have? Are you experiencing the joy in your Christian life that you could be experiencing if you were giving yourself to God freely? Not giving, expecting something back, not duty giving because you have to, but instead freely giving as a Christian. Now gauge your joy and gauge it upon that one condition, just because Paul makes it clear, I think, right here. And then let me ask you, have you considered if you're really giving yourself to God because you love Him? Are you here today because you love Him or because it's where you think you're supposed to be? See, we get busy in our life and our mind gets on a lot of different trails. We might end up being here because we feel it's our duty. And are you supposed to be here according to the Word? Yes. But you can be here and not have joy. If it's just duty giving. If you're here because you love Him, because you want to praise Him, because you want to sing to Him, because you want to hear His Word, because you want to have fellowship with Him, And that's the reason you're freely giving. You're going to get something out of this. But not because you want something back or because it's a duty. But there are people that are listening today that they're not saved. They've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The first thing God wants you to freely give is yourself. You notice we haven't talked any bit about the money you're supposed to give today. Believe it or not, God doesn't need your money. He needs you. God owns everything. We're the ones that need money. We think. He wants you. He wants your decree, your commitment to say, I want to freely give you myself because I love you. If you haven't done that today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ and God's gift of love, that free gift of love, and freely given him yourself back, please don't hesitate. If you're not completely sure, please come pray with me. I'm going to be standing right here at the end of the service. God loves you, but you can't get to him the same way I can't get to him with sin. And so I had to accept Jesus the same way you would have to. Jesus became our sacrifice for sin. That above what he was required to do became the sacrifice for sin. But you have to believe it, accept it, and ask him to be your Savior. You can't just know there's a God or know there's a Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you're not saved. You haven't freely given yourself to him. Today, come and accept Jesus as your Savior, and he will freely give you the gift of salvation. You will experience joy. Christian, this is a time for you to examine yourself the same way I had to when I was studying this. And I looked back and I thought, hey, giving, is that taboo to preach about? No. Listen, here's why people don't have joy. We're not freely giving. What kind of strings do you have attached to what you're giving to Jesus? What kind of strings? What is it you want back? Come to him. Bow in front of him today, Christian. Just say, I love you. If I've given you anything because of something I'm going to get back, I'm sorry. If I'm giving it to you, but I'm begrudging what I'm doing because it's inconvenienced me, I'm sorry, God, because you must see I'm not freely giving. And you know what? He'll strengthen you just by acknowledging and asking him to give you strength. And listen, start giving to him because you love him. Your life will change. How? Joy will come into your life. Father God, I love you. I praise you. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to freely give to you. Thank you for all you gave to us. I pray for each person who is in this place today, Lord. If there's someone here, someone listening today that's never accepted your son Jesus as Savior, God, I pray for their salvation today, that free gift that you were given to us, Lord. I just pray, God, they see their need to freely give their life to you. I pray, Lord, today, if Christians in this room, I pray today, Lord, that you would just minister and show us ourselves today. Let us be able to see today, Lord, if we're really freely giving to you. Let us be able to see, do we have joy in our Christian life? And God, call your children from all over this place today. Humble them, Lord, in front of the altar. Let them be able to cry out to you and not care what anybody thinks. Let them make it right with you. I pray, God, you move in this invitation today in Jesus' name. Amen.